This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الله ثم الحمد لله وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We continue inshallah tonight on our study of the life of the first successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have been going over the biography of Abu Bakr Abdullah ibn Abi Quhafa and his life before Islam within the Meccan period, within the Medina period until the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then as his stature in Islam has been great and very important before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is very important to notice what he has done after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have been studying the position that he took on the day of the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the position that he took right afterwards. One of the biggest tribulation that passed and came upon this ummah, upon this nation, is what Abu Bakr had to face very early on in his ruling time, which is the what is now known as Hurub al-Ridda, the war of the rebellious. And we started mentioning that last time, that people, after the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed, most of Arabia rebelled against Islam, and rebelled in different forms. But there were two main shapes to this rebellion. One is some people claimed that they are prophets, just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they figured this is the easiest way to attain power. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ruled Arabia, in their opinion, within a period less than 10 years after his expulsion from Medina, from Mecca to Medina, within 10 years he became the absolute ruler of Arabia. And everybody feared him and feared the power of Islam. So they figured that must be the secret, prophethood. So we become prophets as well. And that's how we get to power. Some other people rebelled against Islam because they considered the charity that is zakah, that they would pay to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as if it was a penalty, as if it was because they were defeated in war, and they were paying it sometime as a gift to the Prophet himself, and not as a custom of or a worship of Islam. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, they rebelled against paying this zakah to his successor, Abu Bakr. They still don't see it as paying this as a charity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered and decreed upon this nation. So given that, there has been many rebellious in the 11th year of Hijrah immediately following the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this is, and I apologize if there's some inaccuracies, actually try to draw this map, but Medina and Mecca were the main two cities in Arabia, but there was also the city of Al-Ta'if, which is right about there, and there is in this area of eastern Najd, there was the place called Al-Yamama, and this Al-Yamama was also an important city that was inhabited by, or a colony, you should say, inhabited by the people of Banu Hanifa. We will see how, why is that important. But most Arabia rebelled after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except only three cities that remained loyal to the initial dawah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and remained loyal to Abu Bakr. And that was the city of Medina itself, the capital of Islam, and the city of Mecca. And we mentioned last time how the city of Mecca started having some tribulation itself. However, an important man, an important sahabi, Suhail ibn Amr, came up, and Suhail ibn Amr gave his speech to the people of Mecca, reminding them that the rebellious is wrong, and the loyalty is not to the Prophet. The loyalty is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they went into Islam not to please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they should stick with the initial claim of Islam. And to that there is a funny story that we mentioned last time, that after Badr, Suhail was with the pagans, he was with Quraysh, and he was captured as a prisoner of war, and Umar ibn al-Khattab wanted to kill him because he was a good speaker, as we saw, and he could convince people of his message. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, do not kill him, because they decided to take ransom for the prisoners of war. But that Umar said, well, let me take his teeth out, let me break his teeth, so he can't speak anymore. And when he speaks, it will be funny, people will laugh at him instead of being convinced with his message. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we do not disfigure the faces or the shapes of the people that, wa alaykum salam, that we kill or imprison. So Suhail ibn Amr was let free, and he was the ambassador of Quraysh on the day of Hudaybiyah. He was the negotiator of Quraysh, and he was the one that dictated how the treaty of Hudaybiyah should be written. Then Suhail ibn Amr went on to actually join the Muslims after the conquest of Mecca. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prediction and prophecy to Umar, when he said, do not break his teeth, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you a day where Suhail bin Amr will become a defender, or he will say something that you would like. He said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let you see a day where you would not criticize Suhail ibn Amr. And that day came on the day of rebellious, when Suhail ibn Amr held Mecca together. So now with Abu Bakr there is Medina, there is Mecca, and there is At-Ta'if, interestingly enough. At-Ta'if was the last place to accept Islam in Arabia. At-Ta'if was never conquered. At-Ta'if was besieged after Hunayn. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's army could never get into At-Ta'if. And the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the all-knowing, was to the Prophet to leave and leave them alone, as they would come peacefully. And they came peacefully and voluntarily and accepted Islam, and they held on to it. And when the entire tribes of Arabia, when every tribe of Arabia rebelled against the message, Thaqif did not. Thaqif, the last one to accept Islam, held on to it tight, and they remained in the camp of Islam, and remained with Abu Bakr, may Allah pleased with all of them. But here's what was going on in Arabia. Here's what the tribulation, here's what happened. Quba'a in the north, and Taghlib is about this area, Abs and Zubyan, very close to Medina, to the north of Mecca, Bani Sulaym, and then the entire place of Yemen rebelled against Islam, and they followed a false prophet called Al-Aswad Al-Unsi. Now Al-Aswad Al-Unsi came and he claimed prophecy on the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to the people who he was, and Al-Aswad died 3 months before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, but his followers were still in the area of Yemen, and they continued to preach his message to and claim power to Yemen and the coast of Yemen. There was another man in the tribe of Asad. Now the tribe of Asad is one of the mightiest tribes in Arabia, like Ghatafan and like Banu Hanifa. Some of the largest tribes, much larger than Quraysh itself. And this man was one of their known fighters, and he was also a kahin. He was a religious man with idols worshipping, a man of religion. And he claimed prophethood also on the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still alive. And his name was Tulayha ibn Khuwaylid. Inshallah, if we have time, we'll go over what happened to him later on. But then, in the area of Bahrain, there has been some controversy that most of it rebelled, but some of it still remained on Islam. So there was a mix between rebels and Muslims in the area of Al-Bahrain. And Al-Bahrain is not a tiny island as it's known today, the island of Bahrain. The name Bahrain was called on the entire eastern Arabia, which is now known as Al-Ahsa in Saudi Arabia. This whole place was called Al-Bahrain. In this area, where United Arab Emirates today, and there is a city called Dubai today, there was a place called Duba. And that also rebelled against the Muslims, against the government of Abu Bakr. And Hadramaut, in the place of, this used to be called southern Yemen, and now it's part of Yemen, and there's, in the old days it's used to called Muhra, and also was settled by Arab tribes and also rebelled against Arabia. So you can see Muslim small islands are surrounded with sea of rebellious, sea of kufr. Everybody left Islam, and Muslims became in a very difficult position early in the days of Abu Bakr. Well, Abu Bakr, in this hard time, he decided, in this critical tribulation, had to make a decision, as we spoke of last time, regarding the expedition of Usama. Now, who would let in this area where everybody is rebellious and trying to start to attack Muslims, to let the main force defending Medina to go all the way out to Asham? This just to show us how critical that decision was, and why everybody came to Abu Bakr asking him, please leave the army of Usama in Medina until we settle this down. And Abu Bakr refused. He said, wallahi, I will not undo a banner that the Prophet ﷺ himself put together. I will not let an army go away and race where Rasulullah ﷺ himself planned for that army, what that army should do. And Abu Bakr decided to send the Usama army despite the obvious risk, in full compliance with the Prophet ﷺ orders. And the expedition of Usama lasted a critical 40 days, but within these 40 days some events happened. Well, the expedition of Usama moved from Medina, went up to the north, went up to an area in Jordan and came back, and that lasted about 40 days. There was not much fighting that happened within that time, but most of the tribes on Usama's way to Jordan, to this area of Asham, which is today's Jordan and back, saw the army of Usama, and they discussed it among themselves and decided, well, if Abu Bakr is letting this entire army leave Medina, he must have much more in Medina to defend. He would not let that army leave had he not prepared himself for what is coming, what's obviously coming to him. So many of the tribes in this area came back to Islam very fast, just seeing the army of Usama. And then the forces of the Byzantine that were preparing to invade Arabia also were rebelled, were turned back by the view of the Muslim army at that time. So during Usama's absence, events started developing in Arabia, that everybody started looking towards Medina and seeing that Medina now is an easy prey. It's a place that we can take, and whoever controls Medina by default should control the rest of Arabia, because now Muslims were the official rulers of Arabia. So many tribes had their eyes on Medina. Well, the closest tribe and one of the strongest tribes were Abs and Zubyan. Abs and Zubyan prepared an army, and they wanted to take advantage of the weakness of Medina. Abu Bakr was made aware of this danger. And Abu Bakr decided to actually attack the people of Abs and Zubyan preemptively, before they reach into Medina, and before the scenario of Uhud or the scenario of Al-Khandaq occurs again, because Muslims now are actually weaker than they were even on the day of Khandaq. The army is not even in Medina. And here's this very important negotiation and discussion that happened within Medina. Now, Abs and Zubyan did not have a prophet. We see prophets were here and there. But Abs and Zubyan rebelled against zakah. They will not pay zakah. And they wanted to take over Medina. So people came to the Prophet's successor, Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, and they said, Abu Bakr, how, and they sent Umar to negotiate a position of Islam. They wanted to make peace with with the people that are attacking. They wanted to make peace with those who do not want to pay zakah. They felt like this is the least evil. This is not as evil as rebelling against Islam altogether and claiming prophethood after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's just one thing. It's zakah. It's money. So why should we fight over money? So they send Umar to negotiate with Abu Bakr. Here's how it went. Umar said to Abu Bakr, كَيْفَ تُقَاتِلُهُمْ وَقَدْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَقُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَمَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَقَدْ عَصَمَ مِنِّي نَفْسَهُ وَمَالَهُ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا. Umar brought a hadith to Abu Bakr. He wants to make his case. He said, how are you going to fight them, Abu Bakr? Are you gonna, cost Muslims some blood on both sides? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was enjoined upon to fight people until they say la ilaha illallah. That those who are against Muslims, you keep fighting them until they say la ilaha illallah. Whoever say la ilaha illallah, the Prophet said, then he protected himself, his money, unless it is against la ilaha illallah. Illa bihaqqiha means unless it's not worthy of la ilaha illallah. That la ilaha illallah, jazakallah khair. La ilaha illallah has a price. It's not only a word. It comes with obligations. And here's where the argument of Abu Bakr was. In this, that one word in this hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everybody who claims la ilaha illallah, then he's protected with this la ilaha illallah from any Muslim aggression. Except with its due right. Except for what la ilaha illallah obligations are. وَحِسَابُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have his reckoning with that person. This is what that's where the hadith ends. This is the quotation from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Abu Bakr said, وَاللَّهِ لَأُقَاتِلَنَّ مَنْ فَرَّقَ بَيْنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. وَاللَّهِ I will fight those who differ, who make difference between salah and zakah. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. فَإِنَّ الزَّكَاةَ حَقُّ الْمَالِ. That zakah is the due right of anybody's wealth, of anybody's money. وَاللَّهِ لَوْ مَنَعُونِي عِنَاقًا لَقَاتَلْتُمْ عَلَى مَنْعِهَا. Wallahi, if they prevent a calf of a small animal to pay, that they would use to pay to the Prophet, to pay to me, then I will fight them for it. And then he turned on to Umar and he said, did you not realize that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that who will say la ilaha illallah with its due right, well, the zakah is one of its due right. That those who say la ilaha illallah but don't have salah, they're not paying the rights of la ilaha illallah. Those who say la ilaha illallah but do not pay zakah, they're not fulfilling the obligations of la ilaha illallah. And that was the argument of Abu Bakr. And in another narration, he said, wallahi, if they prevented a piece of robe that they would give to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would not give it to me, I would go on and fight them for it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. The question is Umar now a changing person? Because this is not how he used to be when the time of Badr, and he would take out the sword, and now he's more in a compromising, more a statesman-like, more...
Right. The position of Umar, inshallah we'll go over that a little bit more in the discussion time after the session. But why Umar? Umar is the one that is known to be the quote hardliner, unquote, of the Sahaba. He's the one that would hold things together. Abu Bakr is the softer one. Remember on the day of the prisoners of Badr, Umar wants to kill everybody. Abu Bakr wants to ransom them. Now, something happened that they're taking exactly opposite position. Umar wants peace. Abu Bakr is calling for war. Abu Bakr is a strict follower of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If there is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had any ruling in, Abu Bakr would not have any ijtihad. He would not have any innovation. He would not do anything that is new and into that. And when he knew when he knew exactly, and he was one of the best faqih in that ummah, and he knew exactly what the religion is all about, he knew that zakah is not negotiable. It's not something you can negotiate about. It's a position that is so strict by the Prophet ﷺ, and it's ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. So Abu Bakr had his position. Umar wanted peace, not because he wanted to compromise with zakah. Umar wanted to strengthen the ummah and then go on and claim it. But Abu Bakr had a better vision that if he'd done that, if he started compromising, then it will never stop. If you started compromising about any issue, even temporarily, if it is one of the pillars of Islam, if it's an essential issue in Islam, you don't compromise with it. And that was the difference between Abu Bakr and Umar. And Umar was chosen by the Sahaba that had this point of view because he was close to Abu Bakr. And because they knew his status. They knew that if anybody can come and talk to Abu Bakr, it would be him. So that's why he was pushed. And he was pressured by other people to do that. In another narration, Umar came to Abu Bakr and he said, Ya Khalifata Rasulillah, ta'allaf al-nas warfaq bihim. Ya Khalifa, O the successor of Rasulullah, be merciful to people and have good relation with them. Just don't start fighting all over. Let's give diplomacy some time. Let's talk to them. And then Abu Bakr looked at Umar and he said, Rajawtu nusrataka wa ji'tani bi khidlanik. I was hoping that you would come in support of me, support of my position, and you here come to make my position weaker. He said, أَجَبَّارٌ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خَوَّارٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ يَا عُمَرُ. In the days of ignorance, in the day of jahiliyyah, you were a strong man, you were so defiant. And now in Islam, now after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this religion, you become weak. So he said to Umar something that Umar obviously could not respond to. And then he said, إِنَّهُ قَدْ قَطَعَ الْوَحِي. Here's the explanation of his position. He said, revelation has stopped. Jibreel is not coming down anymore. What we have is what we have. He said, revelation is stopped. وَتَمَّ الدِّينِ. And the religion is perfect. Religion has been perfected. أَوَا يَنْقُصُ وَأَنَا حَيِّ. Do you want the religion to be imperfected? Do you want the religion to be decreased? Do you want the religion to be changed? And I am alive. That means that I would die before any word and this religion would be changed. And then he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِلَّا بِحَقِّهَا. Whoever will not give it the due rights of لا إله إلا الله is to be fought. And the due rights of لا إله إلا الله, الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة. الصلاة and paying زكاة. And then he said, وَاللَّهِ لَوْ خَذَلَنِ النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمْ لَجَاهَدْتُهُمْ بِنَفْسِي. He said, wallahi, if every Muslim would not support me, then I will go out and I will fight them by myself. He said, his position is not, you cannot compromise with Abu Bakr, you will not negotiate with him. He's telling them, if nobody would come with me, I will go out and fight them myself. And Umar said, فَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا أَنْ رَأَيْتْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ شَرَحَ صَدْرَ أَبِي بَكْرٍ لِلْقِتَالِ حَتَّى عَرَفْتُ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Umar said, when I looked at Abu Bakr and I knew his position, and I heard him, and I see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted him to this position and to this decision, then I knew that that is the right one. So he joined Abu Bakr, and the rest of Sahaba joined Abu Bakr. Then Abu Bakr gave a speech, one of the important speech for Islam, and he said, إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ كَافِرَةٌ وَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْرُونَ أَلَيْلًا تُؤْتَوْنَ أَوْ نَهَارًا وَأَدْنَاهُمْ مِنْكُمْ عَلَى بَرِيدٍ وَقَدْ كَانَ الْقَوْمُ يَأْمَلُونَ أَنْ نَقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ وَنُوَادِعَهُمْ وَقَدْ أَبَيْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ وَنَبْذِلُ إِلَيْهِمْ عَهْدَهُمْ فَاسْتَعِدُّوا وَأَعِدُّوا. Abu Bakr said that the entire earth is now rebellious. They are back to the days of ignorance. You can see entire Arabia. And then he said, and you will not know that they will come to you day or night. That you be ready, that you are to be attacked, Muslims. وَأَدْنَاهُمْ مِنْكُمْ عَلَى بَرِيدٍ, that the closest of you, the closer one to you, which was Abs and Dubyan, that they are only a distance of a male. Now male used to be carried on horsebacks, and the distance of a male is about 3 days before the male have to stop. He said, so they're at least about only 3 days away. The army is only about 3 days away. And they were hoping that we will have peace with them. That the people that are attacking us were hoping that they would have peace with us. And we will not. We will not compromise on our position. So be prepared and prepare yourself for war. And there starts the first battle of this Hurub al-Riddah, with the war of the rebellion. And what it is Abs and Dubyan prepared, they decided to attack Medina to finish the new government of Abu Bakr and take advantage of the weak defenses of Medina. Abu Bakr decided, as we said, to preemptively strike. So what he did is, he took an army. He took a small army, whatever was left in Medina, and he took them to a place called Zulqissa, which is a close place to Al-Medina. As the army was approaching Medina, Abu Bakr took his army and he walked at night. At night he moved his army so nobody would feel their motion. And he took the army with the leadership of Al-Nu'man ibn Muqrin, wa Abdullah ibn Muqrin, wa Suwayd ibn Muqrin. Three brothers that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put in the hearts and the right and left of the army, Al-Nu'man ibn Muqrin and his brother Abdullah and the other brother Suwayd. And then at dawn, they went on and they faced Abs and Dubyan. Abs and Dubyan were startled, well, stunned by this attack. They felt like they had the advantage and they were walking to Medina to invade Medina and destroy the small army in Medina. But they were attacked and they were taken by surprise and they were defeated. And the brother of Tulayha ibn Khuwaylid, the guy that claimed that he's a prophet, and Bani Asad was actually with this army supporting them, and he was killed in this battle. And that was the first battle of Hurub al-Riddah. And, alaykum salam. And after this battle, it was enough time for the expedition of Usama to come back to Medina. And then Medina became strong again. But Abu Bakr gained two things by doing what he did. Number one, he emphasized the strength of the Muslim army by sending Usama's army and expedition to Asham and bring it back safely. So that frightens many tribes that were thinking about rebelling against Islam, and they did not. The other issue, that he defeated Abs and Dubyan with that first battle of Hurub al-Riddah. So now the Muslims had their own self-confidence. The Sahaba became very strong on their position that we have to fight and we will be with Abu Bakr position against everybody that rebelled. But the battles were still a lot. There were so many strong tribes everywhere. So here's what Abu Bakr did. To prepare the Sahaba for this battle. He went up and he gave another speech, and we will be going over some of these speeches that Abu Bakr gave to understand him and to understand his personality and the way he ruled and the way he fought this war, this very important war. Abu Bakr said, Alhamdulillah alladhi hada fakatha wa a'ta fa aghna. In Allah ba'atha Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wal Islamu gharibun tarid. That Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah who gives us and made us rich. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Prophet Muhammad, and Islam was little, was small, was strange, was very weak. And Islam was persecuted, كان طريدا. It was chased and persecuted. ثُمَّ رَثَّ حَبْلَهُ وَخَلَقَ عَهْدَهُ وَضَلَّ أَهْلَهُ عَنْهُ وَمَقَطَ اللَّهُ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ فَلَا يُعْطِيهِمْ خَيْرًا لِخَيْرٍ عِنْدَهُمْ وَلَا يَصْرِفُ عَنْهُمْ شَرًّا لِشَرٍ عِنْدَهُمْ قَدْ غَيَّرُوا كِتَابَهُمْ وَأَتَوْا عَلَيْهِ مَا لَيْسَ فِيهِ والعرب الأميون صفر من الله لا يعبدونه ولا يدعونه أجهدهم عيشا وأضلهم دينا. Summary of that, that when Islam started weak and small, the entire earth was in ignorance. That the people of the book have changed their book. And the Arabs of the successors of Ibrahim has changed the religion of Ibrahim. And they did not know who Allah is. And that's when Islam was. He's telling them it was much worse when we started. Now he was one of the very first, he was the very first man to accept Islam. And he said when that happened, we were even weaker. And we were more persecuted and more attacked. He's reminding them. And then he said, ثُمَّ جَمَعَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِمُحَمَّدٍ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the Prophet Muhammad and made us the nation of moderation. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported us and gave us victory until the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. And then a shaitan came and deceived the people of Arabia. He's telling them this is what the shaitan has done to the people of Arabia. Then he repeated again, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. Muhammad is only but a prophet, and there has been prophets before him. So if he died or was killed, this is a verse from the Quran, then you would turn back on your heels. I mean, would you rebel against this religion? And those who are around you from the Arabs have prevented the zakah. They are not paying their zakah. And they will not be protective of their own religion. But you are stronger today than you ever were, even after the loss of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's talking to the Muslim. وَلَنْ تَكُونُوا فِي دِينَكُمْ أَقْوَى مِنْكُمْ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا عَلَى مَا فَقَدْتُمْ مِنْ بَرَكَةِ نَبِيِّكُمْ. He's saying that you are the strongest Muslims. And he knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about his Sahaba, they are the best of people. They are the strongest of Muslims. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, who are the best Muslims? He said, the people around me, this generation, then the generation after, then the generation after. So Bakr is telling them, this is as good as it gets. If you don't go up, if you don't go out and you defend your religion, then the people after you will be weaker than you are. It's giving them the responsibility. He said, you are the responsible party for defending this religion. And if you don't do it, then this religion will be lost.
والله لا أدع القتال على أمر الله حتى ينجز الله وعده ويوفي لنا عهده ويقتل من قتل منا شهيدا من أهل الجنة ويبقى من بقي منا خليفته ووريثه في أرضه قضاء الله الحق وقوله الذي لا خلف له وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض.
Then he finished his beautiful speech and he said, Wallahi, I will not leave fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill His promise to this nation. And then whoever is killed is a martyr, is a shaheed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who are left, they are left victorious. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him the inheritance, they'll make him the heirs of this earth. And they will make him the builders of this earth. And this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his saying that there will not be change. And then he recited this verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises those who believe and do the good deeds that will make him successors in the earth. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him power over the earth if they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Abu Bakr started preparing the armies. And what he did, the first army that he sent was the army of Khalid. Started sending the expedition and the armies to restore orders in Arabia and find the rebels. The first army was Khalid ibn al-Walid. Now Khalid ibn al-Walid is the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalid ibn al-Walid was one of the favorite commanders that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send. And then he was very close to Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr knew his brilliance in military. He knew that he was a good military leader. So he sent them for the worst missions. Khalid ibn Walid led the first army, and his orders were to go to the place where Tulayha and Asad and Tamim is. Now, Tulayha, Tayyi, Asad and Tamim. Remember these three names, we'll talk about them inshallah. Three huge tribes in Arabia. Banu Tayyi, Banu Asad, and Banu Tamim. Tayyi and Asad were with Tulayha. Banu Tamim, they had their leader, his name was Malik ibn Nuwayra. And then there was to the south of them, the people of Hanifa and the city of Yamama. And their false prophet was Musaylam al-Kadhab. Now Musaylam al-Kadhab became a false prophet on the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came with the delegation of Hanifa. And he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I will become one of your followers if you would make me your successor. If you make me your successor after you, I will follow you. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, I see that you are the explanation of the dream I have, and you will be a liar and a false prophet. And that's what happened. After Musaylamah went back from Medina to his land, he rebelled immediately in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he claimed that he is a false prophet. So the orders for Khalid were to go to Tulayha to fight Tayyi, Asad and Tamim, and then head on after that, knowing that he will be victorious. And he said, after you finish them, you go on and you fight Musaylam. And here's what he sent a letter with Khalid. And he said, you read this every place you go, and you tell everybody you see, this is what Abu Bakr tells you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. من أبي بكر خليفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى من بلغه كتابي هذا من عامة وخاصة أقام على إسلامه أم رجع عنه. He said, this is from Abu Bakr. This is the letter now. This is from Abu Bakr, the successor of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, to everybody that can hear this, as this would be read upon people. Special or layman. Whoever, whether they're on Islam or against Islam, it's the same letter addressed to everybody. Salamun ala man ittaba'a al-huda wa lam yarji'a ba'da al-huda ila al-dalalati wal-'ama. As-salam is forever who follows the right guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not rebelled against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, la sharika lah, wa anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh. نقر بما جاء به ونكفر من أبى ونجاهده. We concur with the orders of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we fight those who rebel against the orders of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then he said, فإن الله أرسل محمدا بالحق من عنده إلى خلقه بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا لينذر من كان حيا ويحق القول على الكافرين. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his prophet Muhammad as a warner and as a bearer of glad tiding, and he is a caller to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a light the guidance for those who want to follow it. فَهَدَى اللَّهُ بِالْحَقِّ مَنْ أَجَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided rightfully those who wanted to respond to his call, to the prophet's call. وَضَرَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ مَنْ أَدْبَرَ عَنْهِ. And those who rebelled against him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fought against them. حَتَّى صَارَ الْإِسْلَامُ طَوْعًا وَكَرْهًا ثُمَّ تُوفِّيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَقَدْ نَفِذَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَنَصَحَ لِأُمَّتِهِ وَقَضَ الَّذِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ. And then when the Prophet died, he had fulfilled his mission. He's telling them that this rebellious against the Prophet, it's not because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had any shortcomings in delivering his message. He said his message was very clear, and he had delivered Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam his message very faithfully and very clearly to everybody. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, innaka mayyitun wa innakum mayyitun. And he said,
وما جعلنا لبشر من قبلك الخلد أفإن مت فهم الخالدون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book to his prophet, you indeed shall die and they all will die. That all humans will die, including you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said again in another verse that we gave eternity to no human before you. And have you if you died, will they be given eternal life? And then he said to the believers, the same thing that the same verse that we recited before, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِي اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. He said then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Muhammad is only a prophet. If he died, you will not rebel against his orders. It's the same verse that we recited and explained. And then he said, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدٍ قَدْ مَاتَ. He is reiterating what he said before. He said, whoever worshipped Muhammad, Muhammad indeed died. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ بِالْمِرْصَادِ. Those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is all watching over them. حَيٌّ قَيُّومٌ لَا يَمُوتُ وَلَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all living and He does not die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any lethargy and does not get sleepy. حَافِظًا لِأَمْرِهِ مُنْتَقِمٌ مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ بِحِزْبِهِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retaliates against those who rebel against Him with His people. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends His soldiers to retaliate against those who rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. So He's telling everybody that this is the story. That the Prophet came, the Prophet delivered the message is clear. Those who rebel against it, then those who are on this message will fight until the last of them or until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill His promise. And then He said, وَأَنْ يُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحَظَّكُمْ وَنَصِيبَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا جَاءَ بِهِ نَبِيُّكُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَنْ تَهْتَدُوا بِهَدْيِهِ وَأَنْ تَعْتَصِمُوا بِدِينِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ ضال وَكُلَّ مَنْ لَمْ يُعَافِهِ مبتلى وَكُلَّ مَنْ لَمْ يُعِنْهُ مَخْذُولُ فَمَنْ هَدَاهُ اللَّهُ كَانَ مُهْتَدِيًا وَمَنْ أَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ كَانَ ضَالًّا مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. He said, then get close to Allah and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who leave the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be led astray. And those who hold tight to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be guided to the right path. And those who are misguided have to seek guidance in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala misguided shall not be guided, and those who Allah guides, they cannot go astray.
وَقَدْ بَلَغَنِي رُجُوعُ مَنْ رَجَعَ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَقَرَّ بِالْإِسْلَامِ وَعَمِلَ بِهِ اغْتِرَارًا بِاللَّهِ وَجَهَالَةً بِأَمْرِهِ وَإِجَابَةً لِلشَّيْطَانِ.
That I have heard, I have knowledge, that some of you rebelled against this religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after accepting Islam. Now it's different, fighting Islam before accepting it and then rebelling against Islam after declaration of Islam. He said, after you accepted Islam and you worked on Islam, I heard that some of you rebelled against that. And that is because they do not know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are ignorant with the might and the power of their Lord and responding to the call of shaitan. And the shaitan said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the shaitan,
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. وَقَالَ جَلَّ ذِكْرُهُ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا إِنَّمَا يَدْعُو حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ.
He said, do not respond to a shaitan. A shaitan rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, would you claim a shaitan and his followers friends to you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, the shaitan is your enemy. So claim shaitan as your enemy. To take shaitan as an enemy of yours. وَإِنِّي بَعَثْتُ إِلَيْكُمْ خَالِدَ بْنَ الْوَلِيدِ And I have sent to you Khalid ibn al-Walid. في جيش من المهاجرين والأنصار in an army that has the immigrants and مهاجرين of Mecca and the Ansar of Medina. وأمرته ألا يقاتل أحدا ولا يقتله حتى يدعوه إلى داعية الله. And I have given my orders to Khalid that he shall not fight anybody and he shall not kill anybody before he calls upon them to come to the word, to come back to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فمن استجاب له وأقر وكف وعمل صالحا قبل منه وأعانه عليه. Those who respond to the call of Khalid to come back to the word. That I have given my orders to Khalid to not kill anybody until he calls upon them to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who accept the call of Khalid, Khalid will help them go back to the way of Allah and go back to the camp of Islam. وَمَنْ أَبَى أَمَرْتُ أَنْ يُقَاتِلَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ But those who refuse to go back to the religion that they have accepted in the first place, then I have given my orders to Khalid to fight them over that. ثُمَّ لَا يُبْقِي عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ قَدِرَ عَلَيْهِ And then when he captures them, he shall kill them all. وَأَنْ يَحْرِقَهُمْ بِالنَّارِ وَيَقْتُلَهُمْ كُلَّ قَتْلَةٍ That he can even burn them and it kill every one of them that fought against the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْ يَسْفِيَ النِّسَاءَ وَالذَّرَارِ وَلَا يَقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا الْإِسْلَامِ That he shall capture their women and children if they refuse to obey the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he shall accept no religion from them other than Islam. Now if somebody wants to become a Jew or a Muslim, a Jew or a Christian, it's too late for them after accepting Islam. He is given the ruling of the Riddah. Those who rebel against Islam after accepting Islam, they cannot be anything else. Nobody forces a Christian or a Jew to become a Muslim. Once they accept Islam, Abu Bakr is given this ruling that they cannot go back to anything else other than Islam. فَمَنْ آمَنَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ وَمَنْ تَرَكَهُ فَلَنْ يُعْجِزَ اللَّهِ Those who believe, then this is best for them. And those who rebel and fight against it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty and all-powerful. وَقَدْ أَمَرْتُ رَسُولِي أَن يَقْرَأَ كِتَابِي فِي كُلِّ مَجْمَعٍ لَكُمْ And I asked my messenger, Khalid, to read this book in every gathering, to make it clear to people before fighting, that this is what you're up against. So come back and not fight.
وَالدَّاعِيَةُ الْأَذَانِ فَإِذَا أَذَّنَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ فَأَذِّنُوا كُفُّوا عَنْهُمْ
That he said the signal that we will know that you're coming back and responding to our call is the adhan. So if you hear this and you decided to come back to the religion of Islam, then make adhan. And that will be a signal to Khalid's army to not fight you.
فَإِنْ لَمْ يُؤَذِّنُوا فَاسْأَلُوهُمْ مَا عَلَيْهُمْ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ فَإِنْ أَبَوْ عَاجِلُوهُمْ وَإِنْ أَقَرُّوا قَبِلَ مِنْهُمْ وَحَمَلَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ
So if they don't come to adhan and they don't respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then fight them until they come back to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he gave a book, a letter to not to be read to the people that they're going to fight, but he gave his recommendation to his leaders. And you will see how many leaders he had, and 11 of them. He said, هذا عهد من أبي بكر خليفة رسول الله لفلان حين بعثه في من بعثه لقتال من رجع عن الإسلام وعهد إليه أن يتق الله ما استطاع في أمره كله سره وعلانيته وأمره بالجد في أمر الله ومجاهدة من تولى عنه ورجع عن الإسلام إلى أمان الشيطان بعد أن يعذر إليهم فيدعوهم بداعية الإسلام فإن أجابوه أمسك عنهم وإن لم يجيبوه شن غارته عليهم حتى يقروا له ثم ينبئهم بالذي عليهم والذي لهم فيأخذ ما عليهم ويعطيهم الذي لهم. He said, this is the treaty of Abu Bakr. This is the proclamation of Abu Bakr. He said, he's talking to his leaders now, to everybody that he's sending out. He said, you go and fight those who rebelled against Islam. But first, you have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your leaders, the army, should have piety in your heart. And then you should do that in secrecy and announce your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who come back to the way of Allah, you do not fight them and you do not kill them. And those who do not come back to the way of Allah, then you raid on them until they come back to the wall of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to explain to them what their obligations are and what they have to do. Let's say you have to tell them what the zakah is about. You have to tell them what the salah is about. You have to explain to them where they went wrong. And if they do not obey you, then you can fight them. وَإِنَّمَا يُقَاتِلُ مَنْ كَفَرَ بِاللَّهِ عَلَى الْإِقْرَارِ بِمَا جَاءَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَإِذَا أَجَابَ الدَّعْوَةَ لَمْ يَكُنْ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلٌ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ حَسِيبُهُ فِي مَا اسْتَذَرَ بِهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يُجِبْ دَاعِيَةَ اللَّهِ قُتِلَ حَيْثُ كَانَ وَحَيْثُ بَلَغَ مُرَاغَمَةً لَا يَقْبَلُ مِنْ أَحَدٍ شَيْئًا أَعْطَاهُ إِلَّا الْإِسْلَامِ فَمَنْ أَجَابَهُ وَأَقَرَّ قَبِلَ مِنْهُ وَعَلَّمَهُ وَمَنْ أَبَى قَاتَلَهُ فَإِنْ أَظْهَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ قَتَلَ مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ قَتْلَةٍ بِالسِّلَاحِ وَالنِّيرَانِ ثُمَّ قَسَمَ مَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا الْخُمْسِ فَإِنَّهُ يَبْلُغْنَاهُ. He said he was telling them how to fight them. And he said once they insist on their position, after explaining everything to them, then you fight them with all you have. And you fight them very forcefully until you defeat them. And then whatever you gain, four out of five, 80% out of that is for the army that fought in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 20% come back to Abu Bakr to divide among the Muslims.
وَأَنَّ يُمْنَعَ أَنْ يَمْنَعَ أَصْحَابَهُ الْعَجَلَةَ وَالْفَسَادِ وَأَنْ لَا يَدْخُلَ فِيهِمْ حَشْوًا حَتَّى يَعْرِفَهُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ مَا هُمْ لَا يَكُونُوا عُيُونًا وَلِأَلَّا يُؤْتَى الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ قِبَلِهِمْ.
He said, you be careful, do not hasten, do not be fast to killing before you do what I told you to do. Don't start, once you go into any tribe, you start first with the killing. You always have to give them time and let them think. But also have to be careful so you will not be taken, you will not be ambushed. So don't give them enough time to think and consider and give enough time to be taught, but you be careful also so they would not ambush you. Said, okay, stay here for 3 months until we think about it, while they will be surrounding the Muslim army and ambushing the Muslim army. Said, you have to also be careful in that. And then he said, and take care of the Muslims that are with you, and be nice and be merciful upon them. وَيَسْتَوْصِي بِالْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي حُسْنِ الصُّحْبَةِ وَلِينِ الْقَوْلِ. So now he set the stage in Medina. He sent his letter to the people that rebelled, and he gave his recommendation to his army. And here's what Abu Bakr did. First, as we said, the first expedition to be sent was the expedition of Khalid. And he was sent to Tayyib, Asad, and Tamim. And then he said, after you finish with that, you go to Hanifa. So the expedition of Khalid was to go through Najd and fight these tribes and end up in Al-Yamana. Another army was led by Ikrimah, son of Abu Jahl, subhanallah. He was one of the greater mujahideen in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's son of Abu Jahl. He led an army to Hanifa in support of Khalid. And Shurahbil followed with a third army to Hanifa. Hanifa sent three armies to Hanifa. We will see why when we study the battle of Al-Yamamah. Hanifa had one of the mightiest armies in Arabia, and Musaylama had a lot of followers. Many people preferred to go around Musaylama and have a new prophet, although they knew who he was, and we will study that inshallah maybe next session. So the Khalid, the army of Khalid, as we explained, was to end Al-Yamamah. And then the army of Ikrimah was also followed to support the army of Khalid in Al-Yamamah. And then lastly, the army of Shurahbil was also to end in Bani Hanifa in the area of Al-Yamamah. So Abu Bakr sent three armies to this very important stronghold of the rebellious. Then he sent more armies. He sent Turaifa to the people of Sulaym. And the people of Sulaym were south of Mecca. Then he sent Amr ibn al-As to the people of Quba in the north. And then he sent Khalid ibn Sa'id to the borders of Asham, to where Jordan is. So he sent two armies up north, he sent one down south. And then he sent Al-Ala ibn al-Hadrami to Al-Bahrain. Ibn al-Hadrami, he was sent to the area of Al-Bahrain. And then Hudhayfa ibn Muhsan. Hudhayfa ibn Muhsan was sent to Duba, which is Oman today. It's the area of Oman and the United Arab Emirates. It's called Duba at that time. And then he said, Ajraf ibn Harthama to Muhra. And we said Muhra was in south of Arabia. So he sent also Arfaj ibn Harthama to the area of Muhra. Yet he sent Al-Muhajir ibn Umayyah to Sana'a, which is the capital of Yemen today. And and then after he finished with Sana'a, he asked him to go to Hadramaut, which is south of Muhra. And then he sent the last one, Suwayd ibn Muqrin, who was one of his leaders in this first battle of Dhul-Qissah. He sent him to the coast of Yemen to finish up the south of Arabia. 11 armies. 11 armies that Abu Bakr sent to fight this battle of the rebellious and to fight toward the worry of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All at the same time. All at the same time. Actually, that's not really reported to me, but some of the armies that fought in the Battle of Yamamah, we have the numbers on that, and we'll study that inshallah. But I don't know about the other expeditions. Sorry. Khalid ibn al-Walid. To go over the expedition of Khalid, and the expedition of Khalid is really the most studied one in the battle, in this all entire fight, and it had many events that happened that end up in this huge battle of Al-Yamamah that we will spend inshallah some time on. But the first person that Khalid was sent to was Tulayha. So the first mission and the first army was sent to face Tulayha. Tulayha from the people of Asad. Now this Tulayha ibn Khuwaylid, he rebelled and he claimed that he is a prophet in the people of Asad. And then he was joined by the people of Tayyeh and the people of Tamim. So he had a huge force around him and he was ready to fight the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we said Tulayha was, he claimed prophethood on the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him an army to fight him. So Abu Bakr was not innovating. Rasulullah already sent an army to fight those who rebelled against Islam. And one of them was Tulayha. And the leader of that army was Dirar ibn al-Azwar. Dirar ibn al-Azwar was on the way and he got close to the tribe of Al-Asad, of Bani Asad, and they hear the news that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. While the army is right about to start fighting. Now, Dirar ibn al-Azwar is also from Asad. He's from the same tribe. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the same tribesmen to fight his own tribe that rebelled against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the army of Dirar was also many people from the tribe of Asad. What happened when the Prophet died is many people in Dirar's army split and they went and joined Tulayha from the army that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam At the same time, Tayyip and Tamim joined Tulayha. So Dirar looked and he found half of his army is gone to the other camp. And then many tribes joined in with Tulayha. So he decided not to fight. And he withdrew his army back to Medina to see what would Abu Bakr do. So there was a confrontation, but there was not a war between Muslims and Tulayha before Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr sent, as we said, Khalid ibn al-Walid to Tulayha. And he sent with him an important man. Just a testimony for how wise Abu Bakr was. He sent a noble man from Tayyip. And that man was the Sahabi, the companion, may Allah please with him, Adi ibn Hatim al-Ta'i. Now Hatim al-Ta'i is, in Arabic, if you have to give an example of generosity, it's Hatim al-Ta'i. This was his son, Uday. So Hatim al-Ta'i is a nobleman and very well known in Bani Tayyip. And his son is also very well known. So Abu Bakr sent that son with Khalid so he can persuade, he can convince the people of Tayyip to come back without fighting, to come back to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Adi goes and negotiates with his own people only. He negotiates with Tayyip and he continues negotiating until Tayyip listens to him. And Tayyip splits from the camp of Tulayha and they join the Muslims peacefully. So now things started turning more into the Muslims' camp with Khalid. Then he went and he spoke to some of the people of Asad and they also split from the army of Tulayha and they went back and joined Khalid. And then Khalid, after organizing his army, he went and attacked the army of Tulayha. In the heat of battle, Tulayha escapes. Tulayha had already prepared two horses, one for him and one for his wife. And once he saw Khalid, he knew that it's a lost battle. They know that this is hard to fight. And he saw the Muslim army. So Tulayha escapes to Asham. Tulayha, once they knew that the people of Asad, they knew that their leader, their prophet, escaped, they disperse everywhere and most of them surrender. And most of them go back and Khalid and the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was victorious in the second battle of Hurub al-Ridda. Now the first one was in the Qissa where Abu Bakr fought people of Abs and Zubyan, and this was the second battle. Now before you start cursing Tulayha, here's what happened to him. Tulayha went to Asham, and after the end of Hurub al-Ridda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided his heart back to Islam. So he came in repentance, and he declared Islam himself, his false prophet. And he went on the days of Umar to make jihad in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He fought in the battle of Qadisiyah, and then he fought in the battle of Nahawand, and he was martyred in Nahawand. He was killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them his sins and accept them. So that was the story of Tulayha. So the first prophet is gone. And that was the beginning of Hurub al-Ridda. And inshallah we'll stop here. And later on we will continue with the expedition of Khalid to Tamim. And there was some controversy in the battle of Tamim and things that happened there that we inshallah study next time when he was fighting the second enemy who was Malik ibn Nuwayra. And then we'll go on and find the third battle of Khalid when he finally faced with two other Muslim armies, the huge army of Musaylama in the battle of Al-Yamama. Inshallah we'll open the floor for questions and discussions. And I'm sure it's an interesting subject about the Hurub al-Ridda, that there will be some comments, and inshallah we'll discuss that together. Jazakumullah khair. Yes, Jazakumullah. Salaam. That actually, just about before you came, that Umar wanted to make peace. Umar wanted to let them at least get away with not paying zakah, as long as they say La ilaha illallah. And Abu Bakr said, no way, because La ilaha illallah comes with rights and comes with obligations. And one of the obligations of La ilaha illallah is a zakah. Now Islam is built on five pillars. La ilaha illallah is only one of them. But after La ilaha illallah, people have to pay to do the salah, to pay the zakah, to do the siyam of Ramadan, and to come to the hajj if they can. So these are the pillars of Islam. And Abu Bakr was explaining to Umar that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La ilallah with its du'ait is these pillars altogether. So it was actually the opposite. Abu Bakr was very firm on his position that he will fight them until they fulfill the rights of La ilaha illallah. Yeah. Go on. Allahu A'lam, what is the ruling of those who rebel and go back from Islam and change their religion? The ruling of Abu Bakr at that time was they should be killed. And they should be, because they pose a threat, immediate threat against the integrity and the existence of Islam. That if you do not face up to this huge threat, then Islam can be eliminated. And for that threat, the position of Islam has to be just as forceful. In Habasha, Muslims were refugees. And some Muslims decided to go on and become Christians, and there was no action taken. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not ask anybody to kill anybody at that time, and he left them to what they chose, and they would have their reckoning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at that time, in Habasha, there was no immediate threat to Islam, and Islam was fighting a different battle in Arabia. So the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is followed by the sunnah of Khulafa al-Rashideen, by the way of his righteous successors, and we know who the righteous successors are: Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And some scholars add Umar ibn Abdul Aziz as the fifth righteous successor of the Prophet ﷺ. So, according to most scholars, those who rebel against Islam make Islam weaker. As some enemies of Islam may come to Islam and then claim, and then get out of it, claiming that Islam is such and such, Islam is such and such, and they prevent other people from seeing the true word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the punishment was harsh. So people don't come into Islam with bad intentions to leave Islam, because they would be aware that if you do that, then the punishment is capital, as the offense is capital. And would that change by changing the environment and how things are done? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows best, and it's really for more scholars to decide that. I'm not in... I don't know. Yeah, Allahu A'lam. The ruling that we have from Abu Bakr is capital offense, it's capital punishment. But how would it be like if Muslims are refugees in a non-Muslim place, would the ruling of Habasha be the one? Allah knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. I don't know. I cannot give an opinion on that. Question, I really just have the same answer for that was what we talked about. I mean, I cannot really take any specific, and especially if we have to give a special country and specific environment, we're not really in a position to do that. But as far as the second, why Medina was out of the loop, why everybody wants to attack Medina and every action was from Medina. Number one, Arabs, whether they're pagans or Muslims or idol worshippers, they all respected Medina. They all respected respected Mecca, jazakallah khair. I misspoke it. They all respected the sacred sanctuary of Mecca. No one would attack Mecca. No one would attack Masjid al-Haram. No one would attack the Kaaba, no matter what. So that's number one. Number two, that Medina was the capital, not Mecca. Mecca has a small guarding force to protect it, and it didn't need more than that. Mecca was, as I said, protected by its... By being a sacred place, by its own sanctuary. And every Arab respected that. There was no danger against Mecca. Mecca was not to be attacked. Mecca was not to be taken by force in Arabia before dealing with Muslims, because of its own sanctity. But Medina was. And Medina was the capital where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his government. So taking over Medina will make whoever takes Medina the new ruler of Arabia. And that's why it was important to protect Medina. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. As we are studying people that rebelled as groups, but were there people that decided individually that I changed my mind? Like in Medina, I don't want to be a Muslim anymore. The Arabian society at that time, and largely till today, is a tribal society. People follow their tribes. People follow the tradition of their family very strongly. And the reason for rebellion against Islam is not because they did not like Islam. Like, why would people follow Musaylimah? Because they wanted Hanifa to become the ruling, not Quraysh. There was a tribal fighting. And we will see during the war of Ridda, a lot of that was money related. Was how much you can gain by rebelling against Muslims. And how much can you, how much power can you attain? The other thing is completely money related. It's completely monetary reward. We don't want to pay zakah. We don't want Abu Bakr to take our money. So there was no individual reasons. They were worshipping idols. They were guided to the right way. They had no individual desire to leave that religion. And that was not brought up in the 2 years of Abu Bakr. It was mostly rebellion for power and money. Like it is today. That's the motivation that moves everything. Biden, you had a question? Yeah. The before the Prophet ﷺ, when Abraha led the elephant to Mecca, is that your question? No, they did not destroy any of Mecca at that time, but that was before Islam. Oh, yeah. Alaykum as-salam. What was the role of Abu Sufyan, who was trying to create some problems after the succession of Abu Bakr, and he was trying to ally himself with Ali, and Ali obviously refused to fight Abu Bakr. What was his role in the Ridda? In the books of history, he's not mentioned after this period. He was only mentioned there, and then he was mentioned in Qadisiyah, where he was fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loses his two eyes fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with two arrows, and becoming blind. So, he lived long till the days of Umar, and he fought in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Sufyan lived in Mecca, but he would go back and forth. I mean, when he went to Ali, he was in Medina. Yes, JazakAllah. I get a lot of fiqh questions in a history session in a study group. Here is number one. I'm not going to say about killing or fighting. This is not really. But are they considered rebellion against Islam? Here's what scholars said about anything that is related to the pillars. Those who do not make salah, are they Muslims that do not perform salah? Are they considered rebellious or are they considered Muslims? The scholars said if they don't perform their salah, denying that salah is a due right of Islam, then they're not Muslims. That means if they do not, they say, salah is not part of this. Heart is the only thing that matters. It's only, if you have faith, that's it. You don't have to make salah. Salah is not really part of Islam. They are not Muslims. Those who say, salah is part of Islam, I'm just too lazy, may Allah guide me to do it. Then they are sinners. But they are not non-believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have His judgment with them. The same thing goes to zakah. That those who prevent zakah saying, well, that was just for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, doesn't apply today. They reject zakah altogether as part of Islam, then they don't fulfill one pillar of Islam, then they are not part of Islam. If they deny siyam, some Muslims don't fast. But if they deny siyam, saying, I'm a Muslim, but siyam is not Islam, then they're not Muslim. Because Islam is just really very, hadith is very simple. Five pillars. You have to give them, to have them all, believe in them all, to become a Muslim. So the same ruling goes for them. And the same thing for Hajj. I don't know if that answers your question or not. Jazakallah. So we have to stop, inshallah, now. It's time for Adhan al-Isha. Jazakallah khair. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us the things that we don't know about our religion and to help us follow the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, the companions, and the righteous after them. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.